1978. For some, a good year. For some, not so good. For some, a first year.
I, Edward I. Koch, do solemnly swear.
For some, a last year.
Private sector, confident that the electoral process will provide a successor equipped to honor the office of controller of the state.
For some, happy time.
The good news came, and now we're all very, very excited. I don't know what to say. I'm so excited, but thank
for others, sad ones.
I was crying because I love my friends. I love the girl I work next to. I love everybody there, and I just wanted everything.
For some,
to be good.
Victory.
The time for sipping the cup is here, the cup of victory. And don't spare yourselves. Have one on me.
For some, defeat.
I don't regard this as the end. I regard it as a disappointment. And
for others, tragedy.
Smoke and just people, blood all over the place. Some up, some down.
Now, if we could somehow compress the entire year of 1978 into one small package, it might sound like this.
I love my friends. I love the girls.
Well, we won't quite do that. But for the next hour or so, we will take a look back at yesterday, the sounds, the people, the events that brought us all to this point. 88 Looks at 78 is sponsored by the Caldor Photo Department, home of Picture Perfect Developing. In a minute, News Radio 88 will take you back to yesterday.
The holidays are here at last.
From running against Democrats to running against Republicans. But meanwhile, there's another one of those meanwhiles, a lot of other people were running and not running.
It started back in 1927, you see, when I ran for the Assembly, and I've been active now for almost 50 years.
Attorney General Louis Lefkowitz.
I've been active in the party. God's been good to me, my health is good, and I've got a family I want to spend more time with. Spend some time going back to the profession, but last but not least, I'm very active in many charitable and community causes. I want to give them some of my time before my time comes to leave this great earth. That's the reason.
Looking far younger than his 74 years, Lefkowitz retired from the post after 50 years in politics, 22 of them as the state's top lawman. His retirement would leave a vacuum in the soul of New York politics, but a vacant office is always quick to have applicants banging at its door.
It is the Attorney General who is the guardian of the purchasing power of the people. It is the Attorney General who is the guardian of the standard of living for the working men and women of this state.
Bronx Borough President Robert Abrams would seek to be that guardian, and after the Democrats pitted an upstate woman judge against him in a primary, Abrams went on to win that post, defeating Republican conservative Michael Roth. But Attorney General of New York wasn't the only good job up for grabs. Arthur Levitt, after serving as state controller for what can generally be described as forever, stepped down, but in such a way as to leave his mark on the office.
My reading of the current political scene is that my retirement, announced now, will encourage other highly qualified candidates to declare their interest in this office.
Levitt would not suggest who he had in mind, but it was soon obvious. EFCB director and young, relatively, Stephen Berger won Levitt's blessing. Whoops! Here comes the competition in the person of...
I believe that we've learned some lessons in this state over the last several years. I think we've learned that overtaxing and overborrowing and overspending... And
that's right, Harrison J. Golden, controller of the city of New York, who, knowing that the best way to win a primary is to eliminate the competition, eliminated Berger by challenging his petition.
I have the best lawyer that there is, and I always like to use people who are highly qualified. The fact is, however, that he submitted a petition that is invalid, illegal, doesn't comply with the requirements of law. Thousands of other candidates, of course, did comply with the law and are running as they should. Somebody who doesn't simply is ineligible to run.
That done, Golden went on to lose to Republican Ed Regan, who, while not receiving a direct blessing from the outgoing Levitt, at least won the title eminently qualified. So Golden remained the controller not of all New York, but of New York City, which includes Brooklyn, which is where not only trees grow, but where political dynasties spanning 52 years can wither and die. The Steingut reign ended with a crash. It all began when Helene Weinstein decided to challenge the Steingut machinery in a primary, she got bumped off the ballot. Enter her father, Murray. Enter Andy Stein, who it would be fair to say hates Stanley Steingut. Enter Steingut. Well, he's busy up in Albany, missed his cue. End of Act One, Weinstein wins in an upset.
It's really a miracle, and I really haven't digested it too well. It's just an outpouring of people from the 41st Assembly District who've had it. Had it with the elected officials who just take from the community and don't give to it.
Steingut, at first, in the shock of his loss, could not say if he would run in November. He was still on the liberal line. And then a few weeks later...
I cannot retire from public life without attempting to make the truth known. I owe that much to my family. It is these considerations which lead me to run again for my seat in the Assembly.
Steingut was soundly defeated in November. Saddened, Steingut has closed the year with a special session of the state legislature and then home to Brooklyn to await perhaps a judgeship. But of the winners, certainly there was no act of jubilance greater than that of Governor Carey on election night when he turned to his constant companion, Ann Ford Uzelli, and said,
"We've just come through a campaign. It was a long, hard, difficult campaign. I announce tonight that in order that I shall not continue to be aloof, alone, remote, inaccessible, and grouchy, or any of those things, tonight I shall embark upon a new campaign. I hope it will not be as long or as hard or as difficult as the last campaign. But with the objective I have in mind, I ask you to help me in this campaign. And I can't tell you what the result will be, but it'll be a good one. Thank you. That's the announcement I make tonight."
Wink, wink. Politics make strange victory speeches. Oh, by the way, after a week in the islands with friend Ann, Carey came back and said that's not what he meant at all. No proposal, just friends. And still governor. 88 looks at 78. News Radio's look at the year just passed will continue in a moment.
The holidays are here at last, and
by people who are willing to give of themselves, people who will fight for a cause they believe in, people who are willing,
people who need people.
Many people in the news in 1978, coming, going, living, dying.
We've had the worst combination of weather conditions you could possibly imagine over the last week. You had freezing ice storms, you had snow, and then we had major flooding.
Anthony Amoruso, New York's transportation commissioner, explaining why we have potholes.
Some people believe that the transportation panel, some of the members, that their function was to advise and consent.
Mayor Koch, New York's mayor, explaining why we have Anthony Amoruso, despite recommendations of Koch's own transition team not to appoint him.
We're going to start thinking in terms of cleaning up some of these dirty streets that have really been the result of the storm and the kind of careless attitude by some of our citizens.
Anthony Vaccarello, the man who said 90% of New Yorkers are slobs, reappointed city sanitation commissioner by Mayor Koch after and probably because of the worst winter ever. 9 months later...
My criticisms of commissioners, today it's sanitation, tomorrow it's some other department. That's ongoing. If you ever find me only saying nice things about my commissioners, then you should can me.
What Koch said was, sanitation service stinks and we're going to do something about it. What Vaccarello said was, I quit, but not because of Koch. I was leaving anyway. Someone else left the sanitation scene after 43 years. John DeLurie stepped down as head of the Sanitation Man's Union.
In the beginning, it was a threat. You didn't know you could organize. They didn't allow you to organize in those days. And if you were caught, you were fired. But somebody had to run the risk, so we did.
Tough bargaining and a couple of devastating Senate strikes and a stay in jail marked the career of one of New York's most influential labor leaders. There were quite a few ins and outs in the Koch administration. Robert Milano, deputy mayor for economic development, found no money to do his job forthcoming from a tight-fisted mayor. He went back to the retirement he'd given up. Goodbye, Mr. Mayor. Human Rights Commissioner Nieto Ortiz sued the city to get information from city agencies on minority hiring. Goodbye, Commissioner. Peter Smith, General Services Commissioner, found his past catching up with him in the form of an indictment for embezzlement. Goodbye, Commissioner. Sam Wright, City Councilman, convicted of taking some cash. Goodbye, Councilman. Patrick Cunningham, after a fray over political activities, gave up the post as Bronx Democratic County Chairman. Goodbye, Mr. Chairman. J. Wallace LaPrade, called back to Washington, booted out of his post as Director of the New York Office of the FBI. Goodbye, Wallace. Why, hello, Dolly.
We don't give this key to very many people, only to those we trust.
Okay. Dolly Parton at City Hall.
Dolly Parton is one of them.
Well,
okay.
Thank you. That's a great compliment.
Ah, the key to my heart.
Dolly, the mayor told us some months back that, as he said, quote, I am the sex symbol. Would you agree with Ed Koch's estimation?
Oh, definitely. I think he is a sex symbol.
1921, Shuffle On. 1924, Chocolate Dandies. Now, in 1924 again, this was a show called Elsie, an all-Caucasian show, or should I say white.
UB Blake at City Hall.
I didn't write another Broadway show, didn't have another Broadway show, until Lou Leslie's Blackbirds. That was in 1930. That makes four, isn't it? And UB is the fifth show that I've had on Broadway.
Broadway, that's where Jeff Lyons spent much of his year.
On Broadway, the 77-78 season set box office records, but the new season, which began in September, was a disaster, except for UB, its only hit to date. Still, big stars trod the board. Jack Lemmon in Tribute, Yul Brynner continuing in The King and I, Henry Fonda in The First Monday in October, Anne Bancroft as Golda, Mary Martin, Rex Harrison, Claudette Colbert, and Vincent Price in other works. But Alexis Smith outshone the short-lived Platinum, Gory Stories, a Broadway musical, and King of Hearts were expensive bombs. But Da and its star, Barnard Hughes, won dramatic Tonys, while Ain't Misbehavin', the music of Fats Waller, copped the musical Tony. It was a year with lean pickings at the movies, with Heaven Can Wait, Superman, and The Boys from Brazil among the better offerings. Sequels like Jaws 2, The Omen 2, and Oliver's Story were superfluous, as was the big disaster film, the inane The Swarm. But Woody Allen made a dramatic film, Interiors, and directed his stars to fine performances. Superman, with Brando getting $3 million, cost a reputed $50 million, and The Wiz more than $20. In April, George Cukor, the great director, was honored at Lincoln Center, and Irving Berlin turned 90 in May. Acting teacher Sanford Meisner and the Neighborhood Playhouse shared an evening of honors in December. 1978 was the year of mediocre movies, of a great, then disastrous Broadway season, and a year searching in vain for an identity in the history of show business. I'm Jeffrey Lyons.
Not all the drama was on Broadway. Just ask News 88 sports director Ed Ingles.
It started with the Yankee night game in Kansas City on July 17th. Reggie Jackson disobeying the manager, Billy Martin. Martin taking off the bunt sign to Jackson, who then proceeded to bunt the next three pitches foul. Jackson was showing his anger for being relegated to a part-time designated hitter. Jackson was suspended, and Martin was incensed over the incident.
I'm the manager. Anything's out. He comes back again, he does exactly what I say, period. I'm not getting paid $3 million. I don't disobey my boss's orders. What they tell me to do, I do it.
Jackson returned 5 days later, but the next day, Martin was allowing the demons inside that caused him to self-destruct to surface. The manager called Jackson a liar and owner George Steinbrenner a convict and how they deserved each other. This led to Martin's tearful resignation the following day.
I would like to thank the Yankee management, the press, the news media, my coaches, my players, and most of all,
But before the week was out, the story took a bizarre twist. Old Timers Day at Yankee Stadium, Steinbrenner announcing that Martin would be returning as the Yankee manager in 1980. This was, of course, after the ex and now future manager had apologized to the boss for his nasty remarks.
We're with Billy in this thing. The burden of the proof
and the burden of the challenge lies with Billy.
And so Steinbrenner had left the door open for dumping Martin by 1980. This is Ed Engels.
Once you set up divorce in a society and make it possible that every time you have a quarrel at breakfast, you consider terminating a marriage.
The colorful and often controversial Margaret Mead, said by her colleagues to have been active even from her hospital bed, died in November at age 77. The killer was cancer. But killers of another kind roam the streets of New York and the headlines. David Berkowitz, Son of Sam, the 44 caliber killer, after a guilty plea to the crimes that terrorized New Yorkers the year before, was sentenced to a total of 275 years in prison. Nysa Moskowitz, the outspoken mother of Berkowitz's last victim, Stacy.
I think the system stinks. And when they took out capital punishment, they gave them carte blanche. And I was for capital punishment before my daughter was killed, and I'm 400% for it now.
The death penalty, part of a controversy that surrounded the Kerry administration, passed by the legislature and vetoed by the governor, and substituted by his crime package.
I have placed before the legislature stiffer penalties for all crimes to cover muggings and rapists, crimes upon the elderly, and break-ins, all of the crimes that are contributing to violence.
The debate went on all year, weaving its way in and out of the election campaign, and finally a crime package with a tough juvenile law. 14-year-olds convicted of violent crimes could be tried as adults. Many such cases have come to the court since the new law took effect, including two Bronx youths charged with setting a fire that killed seven in the Bronx. Hostages at the World Trade Center. Richard Herron convicted of killing his girlfriend with a hammer. The kidnapping of Marcy Klein. The sensational triangle murder of John Tupper, alleged lover of vivacious model Melanie Kane, alleged girlfriend of horseman Buddy Jacobson, alleged murderer in the case, which was spiced with burning bodies, call girls, and the mob. Gig Young took his own life and that of his young wife. Punk rocker Sid Vicious accused of killing a roommate, a groupie-turned-lover. Dr. Marvin Teicher, known in some circles as the Dirty Dentist, convicted of doing more than just filling cavities on some of his patients with videotape of the action for all the court to see. Now not just hookers, but Johns can and do get arrested. Even reporters get arrested. Times reporter Myron Farber in the sensational Dr. X case.
I'm going to jail in what I believe to be the public interest, in what I believe to be the interest of my profession, what I believe to be the interest of an informed public, and I believe that we are correct in our position under the First Amendment, as well as under the Shield laws in New Jersey, and that ultimately we'll be vindicated.
Farber wasn't. He spent much time in jail, and in court trying to get out of jail, he never did turn over his reporter's notes. Dr. Mario Jaskalovich was vindicated after months of trial on charges of murdering patients at a New Jersey hospital years ago. His only comment when it was all over, thank God.
Look, it's extremely important that people have confidence in this process. It's extremely important that people believe that all that can be done is being done.
Brooklyn DA Eugene Gold, as he assigned 12 full-time investigators to the case of the death of Arthur Miller, Crown Heights businessman who died following an altercation with police and while in their custody. Who killed Arthur Miller? The police, according to community leaders like Reverend Herbert Daughtry. And the situation was explosive. The political climate tense. Community patrols, black ones, Jewish ones. Community rallies, black ones, Jewish ones. The black community, led by Reverend Daughtry, in confrontation with the mayor. A scuffle.
Nobody's going to ever drive me off the streets of the city of New York with threats of violence or attempts to intimidate.
And then the accusations. The mayor is a racist. Reverend Daughtry is a racist. And then the verdict. The Miller death was accidental.
Arthur Miller, contrary to all the reports that were given out to the media at the time of the occurrence, that he was not savagely beaten.
There would be calls for federal investigations, but as the Miller death faded to the back pages of the newspapers, another section of Brooklyn moved to the front pages, Borough Park, where thousands of Hasidic Jews stormed and took over the 66th precinct, demanding action after a Jew was mugged and knifed by some youths. The Jews blame the cops for the riot and vice versa. Again, more official investigations. Mayor Koch called it a rape of the precinct. There were never any arrests, and City Hall found itself once again trying to restore the delicate balance between the police and the ethnic communities that make up Brooklyn, USA. 88 looks at 78. News Radio's look at the year just passed will continue in a moment.
The holidays are here at last. And
we're from Caldor. 50 great savings stores and still growing. Open daily 10 to 9, Sunday from noon to 5, closed New Year's Day.
New York set new records for tourism in 1978. More than 17 million people took a bite from the Big Apple. But then, New York spent a good deal of 78 putting the bite on the people, that is Congress, which finally came across after much pleading from many, including Governor Carey, who went to Washington and declared,
I love New York. I love New York.
I love New York.
I love New York.
Everybody got into the fiscal act. Senators Javits and Moynihan, Proxmire, Comptroller Leavitt, Treasury Secretary Blumenthal, President Carter, of course the mayor, and still others. Put it all together, and it sounded very much like last year.
I know Senator Proxmire, and we are good friends. And Senator Proxmire says that he is not convinced that we need assistance. It's my job to convince him.
It's not a Wisconsin fund or a U.S. fund. It's a New York State pension fund. They haven't invested one single nickel in New York securities. It's a
prime, unconditional federal guarantee. And if the rate of interest is acceptable.
Senator Proxmire, in my judgment, is a good friend, not only of the city, but of myself.
We've known Senator Proxmire's views for some time, and we feel that he is a fair-minded person.
Governor Carey indicated and committed himself to providing additional state aid to the city.
I think the proposal that has been put forward is basically adequate. It's obviously not everything that the New York City officials would want.
I have grave misgivings about providing long-term federal guarantees to New York City.
I'm jubilant,
first,
of course.
To keep the federal
the
government.
Senate passed it 2-1. I think it was 53-27, and Senator Proxmire voted with us. But didn't I always say he ultimately would?
You ask anybody in the farthest reaches of the villages of India whether they know the U.S. or New York, and the chances are very great that they'll say,
I love
New York was pulled once more from the brink and is fast sliding towards it again. It's more trips to Washington, more meetings with President Carter. In fact, at year's end, only presidential hemorrhoids stood between the mayor and a new plea for federal help. But in 1978, the new mayor had more to deal with fiscally than just a bunch of senators and congressmen. There were labor contracts to be settled. Said hardline Koch at the beginning of the year, if they can find the money, they can have it.
Well, they have every right. Indeed, they must represent their unions. I have to represent 7.5 million people. We're going to be as able as they are, but we have a larger constituency.
The city wanted givebacks. The union said no way, and labor leader Barry Feinstein threatened plenty of trouble for the mayor and the city if the unions didn't get what they demanded.
There are two basic areas of our demands here. One is for a wage increase, and the second is for the cost of living adjustments to continue. The city's posture, of course, is to have no salary increases for the next 2.5 year period, end all cost of living payments, and it will be very difficult to control a workforce in light of these kinds of demands from the city of New York.
All night sessions in Albany to get laws that would make banks and unions and senators all happy, and finally a settlement. City negotiator Basil Patterson said it could have been worse.
In any negotiated settlement, you don't get everything you seek. Neither side does. You don't seek a win, you seek a draw. And this is, as we sought a win for the people of the city of New York, I think we've accomplished that.
The unions Gottbaum said it could have been better.
Those of us who represent the unions know damn well that if the city isn't solvent, if there's not a better New York, our members don't thrive in it. So we're pleased we got the damn best contract we could get.
But the PBA still had no contract with the city. The same EFCB legislation that made it possible to settle with the other unions just made PBA boss Sam D'Amelio mad.
Understand something. I cannot get any negotiations through. I cannot get any money unless I have the right to negotiate. If they take my right to negotiate away, how can I get anything? I must stand there with hat in hand, asking for whatever they want to dole out to me. I cannot permit that. That's my reason for going on strike.
But the strike vote, TWU President Matthew Guinan, who just a few hours before almost guaranteed a transit walkout, had a change of heart.
Well, I'm very, very happy indeed, because I think we've got a damn good settlement. We're proud of it, and we're certainly going to recommend it to the membership.
A stormy vote or two, and by the way, the 50-cent fare, said the mayor, is safe until at least 1980. Ride while you can. And when you got off the subway late this year, you maneuvered around mountains of garbage. The private sanitation men went on strike against the commercial carters, and union boss Ernie Edelstein meant business.
All I can say to you, did you ever go out to a dump, garbage dump? That's what New York City will look like. Piles and tons of garbage.
The strike settled. The smelly mounds disappeared quickly, but perhaps brought back memories of yet another kind of obstacle on the sidewalks of New York.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
And snow and snow and snow. And snow it did. But before it snowed, it got cold.
How cold was it?
It was so cold that only 10 people were skating at Rockefeller Center, and I was not one of them. However,
there's a man with a big cigar and ice skates.
Does the cigar keep you warm?
No, it doesn't help, really. These earmuffs keep me warm, though. I know it's cold, but it's not quite so windy down here. See, you're down in a hole here.
Everybody was in a hole when the first storm hit. It was an ice storm, and it left Long Island in the dark. For days, people shivered with no heat, and power lines fell as soon as they were put up. Then on January 19th, the snow came. 18 inches of it in some areas. Everything came to a halt, including the Long Island Railroad. In New Jersey, Governor Byrne had one word. Well, two words. Stay home.
We don't want anybody to go out on our roads now because we're trying to get them clean.
In New York, Mayor Koch said, come to work or else you don't get paid. And then he praised the sanitation department for the cleanup.
They have done a super job. And while we're very appreciative that the governor has sent in equipment and some men in the National Guard to handle that equipment,
not everyone agreed with Koch. Queensboro President Donald Manners called Queens the forgotten borough again. But it was finally all cleaned up that January blizzard. And then came February and another 18 inches of snow. Emergency shelters were set up throughout the city. Hotels were swamped with stranded commuters, and everyone had a story to tell.
I got caught on the LIE for 8 hours, and we did a lot of pushing of a car last night, a lot of entertaining the troops. People were caught for about, a 5 mile distance. So we went by knocking on windows and talking to people. It doesn't bother me at all. I think it's fantastic. I love the snow. It's great. We're having fun today. I mean, not working and everything.
The entire Northeast shut down. Sanitation Commissioner Anthony Vaccarello had his hands full.
We're dealing now with a storm where drifts are as high as 5 and 8 feet, which makes it that much more difficult to get into and out of.
In the end, damage assessed on Long Island.
The only thing that's standing out are the mailboxes in these locations. We have also 5 houses that are down. We have 4 that are partially collapsed. And we have a number of houses that are twisted on the piling.
At Coney Island and the Rockaways, $20 million in erosion damage. In Seagate, Brooklyn,
in certain places where there had been 100 feet of beach, there was now maybe only 20 or 30 feet of beach.
It was a winter to remember until summer.
Because it's real hot. It's real hot. I can't stand to be in the house, man. And air conditioning, I can't let it run for a long time because it'll run up my electric bill.
How you doing here so far?
All right.
How long you been here?
About 15 minutes.
How long you plan to stay here?
All day.
All that snow, plus the fiscal crisis, led Mayor Koch to say, now all I need is a plane. Well, he almost got one in September.
The incubation period of Legionnaires is anywhere from 2 to 10 days. So if we thought there were going to be new cases, they would have occurred in the last 2 weeks.
Legionnaires disease on West 35th Street. Health officials moved into the Garmin Center, washing down streets, draining water tanks, taking blood samples, shutting down air conditioners, while the mayor urged citizens...
We want everyone to be calm and not get excited about it, and we're taking it seriously, but nobody should panic.
Garmin Center workers, well, they kept right on working.
I've been working around this area for a year and a half now, and in this building, 463, I understand a person died. Now, if this one person died, I don't see why everybody should be scared about it.
I'm just going to work until somebody that I know gets with that disease, until then.
Then what did you do?
I think I'm going to... I have to stay away from this neighborhood for a while.
The precautions went on. The final toll, 3 dead, 17 confirmed, and 21 probable cases of Legionnaires' disease. No one ever figured out exactly what did cause it. While it wasn't funny, it prompted one New Yorker to ask, why does it take a plague to get the city to wash the streets and subways? There was a time shortly after the Legionnaires' outbreak that you couldn't wash anything in the Murray Hill section of Manhattan, a water alert.
The area that is covered by our precaution stretches from 37th Street to 26th Street, Lexington Avenue to the East River. The boil water precaution will stand until we have solved the problem or identified what is causing this situation.
City EPA Commissioner Francis McArdle with the word contamination. 35 buildings with bad water. B. coli, it was called. And again, Mayor Kotz was there with a good word.
You remember on January 28th when the first snowfall came and I said that I had the feeling that God was testing me? Well, well, think about it.
In a few days, it all cleared up. The cause, some pipes got crossed. No one, as far as we know, got sick from it. Some Murray Hillers simply said, poison water? Sure, why not? This is New York. Fires took their toll of 1978. Six firemen died in Brooklyn when a supermarket roof collapsed.
About 25 firemen on top of the roof, we watched them. All of a sudden, there was a crack. They all started to run, and the whole roof gave in.
Seven died in the Bronx after a fire was allegedly set in the basement of their home by two youths. Yet another 12 perished in a Newark fire. And in June, an explosion on an ice cream truck ripped through the Wall Street area.
After I got up, it was quiet, and suddenly then after the explosion, there was fire. Then there was confusion and panic and screaming, and there was debris everywhere.
The only thing I could think of is it was the end. I just thought it was the end of the world.
I just saw massive bodies all over the place. Everybody was in a panic. Screaming, screaming, running, yelling, knocking people down. It was a mess. It was just like rain. Glass looked just like rain falling down. It just happened like that, quick.
It was ruled accidental. Nearly 200 were hospitalized with injuries ranging from cuts to burns, from minor to critical. Miraculously, no deaths.
As I was moving backwards, we hit with a tremendous amount of force, and I went through the air about 2 feet and down on the ground.
Ferry Captain Irving Sattler piloted his Staten Island ferry through dense fog and into a seawall. 200 injuries, two hearings. Captain Sattler was suspended, as was his radar man, but even before those hearings began, a Coast Guardsman said someone was negligent. That's always the case in a collision. 88 looks at 78. News Radio's look at the year just passed will continue in a moment.
The holidays are here at last.
The showplace of the nation, the family place to go.
It's a little difficult to play deep throat alongside of the nativity.
So said Rockefeller Center President Alton Marshall when he announced
the closing of Radio City Music Hall at the end of the 1978 Easter show on April 12th. Because we can no longer sustain the losses which have reached 2.3 million in 1977 and are projected at 3.5 million for 1978.
Rockettes like Barbara Ann Citadino couldn't believe it.
Everybody's in a state of shock. Nobody really believes that it's going to happen. But obviously it is.
But there was a mad scramble to save the showplace of the nation. Despite its vast financial losses, Lieutenant Governor Marianne Krupczak said there must be a way to keep it open, and she would find it. Landmarking was the next step, and then the state's UDC was called in to help. And the cast and crew members organized and collected signatures on petitions, Save the Music Hall.
All you really need is heart.
We are working very hard to get public support, public interest, and we are getting it. We have over 60,000 signatures on petitions. We are getting an average of 200 letters a day from people across the country. We've done a few talk shows and have a couple more in the works.
And then the Easter show ran its course. It was to be the last show of the last night ever at Radio City. While lawyers huddled blocks away to find an answer, the last show went on to a packed house with tears in the eyes of the Rockettes.
This was the roughest show I've ever done in my life. I feel kind of emotional right now, so it's hard to... myself for a minute. It's hard to talk because at this moment we still don't know whether it's over or not. When that curtain finally went down, not to know whether it's going to open up again tomorrow was devastating.
Then shortly after midnight, word came. The music hall would not close, and Lieutenant Governor Marianne Krupczak hustled over to a party at Rockefeller Center to give the good news.
Marianne Krupczak is here! Go out and party.
Here we are.
Stay sober and stay awake because you're going to keep dancing.
And so they did all year, and now at year's end, there is again a chance that this Easter show may be the last for the showplace of the nation, only this time, Krupczak is nowhere to be found. Something else ground to a halt in 1978, presses, big ones and lots of them. The Daily News ceased publication for a week in June when the editorial staff went on strike. It was a hot strike, a violent one. Mounted cops and billy clubs, truck drivers and rocks, and it was just a prelude to the future. In August, all of New York City's papers went on strike, led by the Pressmen's Union. It didn't end until November. Meanwhile, all the news that fit was printed by interim newspapers staffed by out-of-work employees of the big three dailies. The Sun, a proposed morning paper, never rose for publisher Rupert Murdoch. The Trib, published by Leonard Sapper, was born in January of 78. 3 months later, whoops.
I told the staff that effective immediately that the operations of the newspaper would be terminated. There will be no Trib tomorrow.
R.I.P. Trib. Not bingo, not OTB, but full-fledged put-your-money-where-your-mouth-is gambling as Resorts International celebrated Memorial Day with the first casino east of the Rockies, right smack dab on the boardwalk of Atlantic City. The only game in town, resort stock went up almost as fast as property values in the ailing summer town. As the year rolls to a close, Resorts is getting ready to fight for its permanent permit under attack for alleged mob connections. Others are gearing up for still more casinos, and the crowds still flock to place their bets, mob or not.
Take me out to the ball game.
The fans are just going nuts. Paper is all over the place. As a matter of fact, they're crowding the streets so much here on Broadway that the police have to push them aside. Oh, there's Reggie. There's Reggie over there at the back of the truck, right?
Oh, yeah, Hal. Look at him.
Right, that's the cry of Yankee fans. And you're hearing the fans along with News 88's Ben Farnsworth as the Yankees paraded through town to world champions. The end of a long, long year of sports. Right, Ed Ingles?
No American League team in history made the comeback this team did. Coming from 14 games behind in mid-July to win the American League Eastern Divisional title, beating Boston in a divisional playoff game. No team in World Series competition lost the first two games and then took the next four to win the championship. Catcher Thurman Munson, his knee and his shoulder often shot full of painkillers, epitomized the achievement of this Yankee club.
We got a bunch of guys who, to tell you the truth, we would have probably rather been home than been in a series, but we had just had too damn much pride to lose.
When the Yanks were not bickering among themselves, they were riding the pitching arms of Ron Guidry, Rich Gossage, and the remarkable late-season comeback of Catfish Hunter to victory. This unbelievable Yankees saga was capped off by Bucky Dent, the usually light-hitting shortstop and the number nine hitter in the batting order, named the World Series MVP.
As a kid, you know, you dream of coming up in the ninth inning, hitting a home run, becoming a hero and stuff like that. And, you know, I've seen some great ball players. You know, Mantle was my hero and stuff like that. Yes, it does. You do fantasize.
When you spend megabucks like the Yanks and the Cosmos, it is no dream world. And like the Yanks, the Cosmos won a second straight league title with their star-studded foreign lineup rolling through North American Soccer League competition. Belmont Park was the scene of great drama, a firm bidding for a thoroughbred three-year-old Triple Crown victory. Steve Cawthon riding a firm going head-to-head with Aladar in the stretch of the Belmont Stakes. Ray Haight calls the finish.
Affirmed on the inside, Aladar on the outside. Here they come. It's Aladar on the outside with a slight lead. Affirmed is not giving up. They're stride for stride. Aladar on the outside, Affirmed on the inside. This is going to be a close one. There it is. Look over the firm by a nose.
Cawthon riding a firm to the Triple Crown, and Bill Rogers proved he was the marathon man, winning his second straight New York City Marathon. 16 miles into the race, the Boston runner pulling away.
Gary Bjorklund from Minnesota ran a very hard first 10 miles that I didn't really want to do because I knew it was hot. It seems every time I go in a race, there's someone that tries to thwart my own strategy, you know? So I felt that I couldn't control the race. I couldn't run my own race.
There was no race for the Mets, who again finished a dismal last. The young Jets showed surprising improvement under coach Walt Michaels, finishing 8-8 in NFL play. But again, the Giants had an ignominious season with some of their fans rebelling and burning their tickets. The Islanders won their NHL division, but then got mauled and mugged out of the playoffs in the quarterfinals by Toronto. The Rangers staggered to the playoffs and were gone in the first round. The Knicks disappointed when Philadelphia blew them away in four games in the NBA playoffs. The Nets were a disaster financially and on the court before new ownership made them competitive this season. The New York Apples rotted away at the gate and folded. Jimmy Connors dominated the local tennis scene by winning the U.S. Open and Grand Prix Masters Championship. And Chris Evert proved she's still number one by capturing the U.S. Open tennis title. This is Ed Ingalls.
SS America pulled into port after its trip to nowhere, passengers lined the deck and sang God Bless America. When they got ashore, they sang Things of a Different Spirit.
Traveling on the subway is a pleasure compared to the trip that we were on.
Well, what happened to you?
What happened, there was nothing, there was no water in the pool, there was just everything was wrong.
They're going to rename this ship the SOS America after this trip. The place was filthy. I don't know ever how they ever let it out of the harbor, to tell you the truth.
Roaches, floods, no bathrooms, and then a scourge of state inspectors. The SS America sailed again. It was worse. Imagine being seasick on a ship with no bathroom. Eventually, crew unpaid, passengers suing, the SS America sank from the headlines in a sea of bankruptcy, a legend in her own time.
Oh, the shark hands.
Far better at ocean going, a shark, a great white spotted off Montauk Point, 30 feet long, 8,000 pounds, and coincidentally spotted and harpooned just as the movie Jaws was coming out. A hoax? No way, said the fisherman. The great white dragged one boat around for 14 hours and pulled a harpoon and barrels around and down and under and into oblivion, never to be seen again. The great white is probably still out there, waiting and watching.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces.
It's been a few months since New York's dog law went into effect. Thousands of New Yorkers carrying plastic bags, paper towels, shovels, pooper scoopers, so they might carry out their civic duty or face a $100 fine. I still remember the man on the east side who was trying to maneuver a shovel under an uncooperative St. Bernard as I approached.
Don't let me stop you. Go ahead. You look like you're involved in a very unpleasant task there.
It is.
What do you think of the law?
I can only wish one word on the person that did it.
What's the word?
Drop.
You've got a big dog, too.
Yeah.
Have you ever had to do this before?
No.
What are you going to do? You look like you're going to have a tough time getting through the day.
I am. I don't have to walk them twice, and I just doing it this one time is killing me.
And so it went. The year 1978, between the overhead and the underfoot, it was a year that went by all too quickly, as years tend to do as we get older. Not a particularly memorable year as years go, except for the few personal memories each of us tucks away. Here's hoping yours are good ones, and that 1979 will be even better. We'll look back at that 1 year from now. 88 Looks at 78 has been sponsored by the Caldor Photo Department, home of perfect pictures. Technical supervision for the broadcast, Barry Siegfried. Technical assistants, Chuck Mascari and Dick Ruse. I'm Art Athens. On behalf of all of us here at News Radio 88, wishing you a new year filled with good news.
This is WCBS New York. It's 11 o'clock. CBS News, more riots in Iran. There are reports that mobs have attacked American and British...